And so I wanted to talk a little bit around community and belonging this morning. Very important value of ours. And so there's lots that we'll be doing this year. But for us, one of the most important aspects of community and belonging. And we have been born again. We've been saved into a family. We haven't been saved into a vacuum, friends. We have been saved into a community of believers who do life and faith together. And so one of the key building blocks for us in that is through our life groups. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn to these Ephesians chapter 2. But if you don't have your Bible with you, that's fine, because we have the scriptures up on the board. But Paul is going to. And so what he does is he gives us a picture as we look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, he tells us what Jesus has done for us. And by his blood, his death upon the cross, he has brought us into a community of believers. 13. Remember that at that time, so he's pointing back to before Jesus broke into our lives, before the gospel transformed our hearts, separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, so he's saying right now, where you find yourself, and friends, if we are sitting here this morning, and Jesus has impacted our life through his gospel, it's our right now moment. It's our now moment. And I'm wanting to speak into that now moment. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so the blood of Christ qualifies us to be part of his family called the church. And so he's saying, but now you have been saved in a family of believers. And then he points in the next couple of verses, which we'll look at, or one verse, verse 19 of that same chapter, because of what Jesus has done, because of who he is, because of the transforming work of his gospel upon our heart, upon our life, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. In other words, you're no longer foreigners and strangers to God, but you are sons and daughters of God Most High. That revelation. That we are no longer foreigners and aliens and strangers to God, but we are part of his family. Just think of that for a moment. That through the blood of Christ, daughters of God Most High. He says, but not only that, you are also fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. And so, yeah, we have on the one, but now we've also been included in a family. Adopted, the Bible, Paul speaks about it in some scriptures, adopted. We've been given adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus into this family called the church. And so this church is not something nebulous. The church, the family of God, is a group of people who have blood. Beautiful. That's worth celebrating. And so how does the family outwork life together? Because here's the reality. We've been saved into a family. Now how do we do life together? I believe, along with our team of elders that I'm a part of, that a Sunday morning meeting like this is not enough. It's important. It's awesome. To small moment in the context of life. Small moment, important. But we believe even more importantly, this life is experienced beyond a Sunday moment. And so I'm wanting to ask you this morning of your experience of family to God. I want to propose to you that you are missing out. It's wonderful, but my word, you are missing out. There is so much more. And so I'm going to refer back to the scripture of James chapter 4, and I'm going to ask Brad to bring a word because it fits in with that. And so maybe this morning, at the moment, and I enjoy being with you, I'm wanting to challenge you to maybe search for a little bit more than that. Brad, bring that word.
For those of you who know anything about fishing, this is a fishing story. 2 weeks back, and we live at the coast, and I went for a walk near quite a long gully that runs out into the sea, and the weather was poor the evening, and as we walked down, my kids were snorkeling, and they ran up, and they screamed, and they shouted, And what had happened was a bait ball of mackerel had got trapped in one of the gullies. So one of the gullies was completely filled with fish. It actually looked like an oil slick. It was black. It was full. I'm trying to say this very nicely. I left my wife behind on the rocks and left my dog. And I ran back and I've repented of that a number of times since then. And anyway, we caught the bait fish, and my son and I used the bait fish. And because the bait fish were trapped, the predator fish had started to come in to feed. And we caught the bait fish, and we ran to the point, and we threw our tackle into the water. And for a while, we weren't catching anything. But there were three other men standing next to us, and they were catching fish. And we couldn't understand it. And the one elderly man walked up to me, and he said to me, "Take off your sinker." Now, I've been fishing for a very long time, and I'm sure many people here have fished all over South Africa. It's not something that you often get told to do. And so I took my sinker off, and within the space of 2 hours, we caught 14 fish. Sizable fish. Proper fish. And in that moment, I felt God just say to me, it's not wrong to fish with a sinker. It's not wrong. But sometimes there's a time in our lives where we must change the way we do things, whether it's how we see God, whether it's how we behave spiritually. There's a change in the way that a heart issue for me, and I'm absolutely certain it is for me. But in chatting to Nick and chatting to the elders, we believe that this is a word for the church, that there's a time now where we have to take the sinker off. We have to stop doing things the same way, and there's a change that has to come.
Certainly is a word for us as a church, and my heart resonates with an agreement with that. And so maybe our challenge this morning for us is, Lord, maybe I've been fishing, doing life with a sinker. And so you got used to a certain rhythm, a certain routine of, and maybe, just maybe, I've been fishing with a sinker on this coastline since I moved to Port Elizabeth. I haven't caught much. Maybe you've been looking at your life and saying, I haven't really caught much. I haven't really experienced the fullness of what Jesus has for me. Maybe this morning, take the sinker off. Take the sinker off. Take the sinker off. Why don't you look at a new pattern, a new way, some different ways of plumbing into my life. And so we're going to talk about life groups a little bit. And if it's a foreign concept to you, what is a life group, you know? What do we do in life groups? So maybe you just are very comfortable with coming to church on a Sunday and there's no life. Maybe the Lord is saying this morning, fish without a sinker. Maybe you're new here this morning. You say, what are you talking about? I have no, what is a life group? Morning. And so we believe that you will see something of our culture on a Sunday morning, but it'll be a glimpse. You might see something of our values on a Sunday morning, but it's a glimpse. You want to experience the fullness of that, you enjoy that through a life group. That's where it's expressed. And so what are we talking about when we talk about life groups? It's where you can know the life of God. You can know the life of God. Three words, simply defined, knowing the life of God, feeling or experiencing the life of God, and then doing the life of God. And so those three words basically sum up everything that we experience God. It's where you know one another too. So remember I said that you are saved into a family. And so in the life group, you really get to, it's where you get to experience one another's lives, where you get to do life together, where you get to experience this culture of togetherness, of being transparent and vulnerable with one another, to share your struggles, to share your trials, to share your victory, and through those moments and times. It's a place where you're going to find purpose for your life, and you're going to be encouraged to walk in it and to be challenged to do that. It's going to be a place, most importantly, which underpins all of those, is to knowledge and your understanding of Jesus. He is the head of the church. You won't get somebody's good idea or somebody's experience, this worked for me, try that. What you're going to do is you're going to get encouraged to grow in Jesus Christ. And you're going to be equipped in Him. And so He is the foundation of our faith. Faith is going to be expressed in life groups. You're going to feel, you're going to experience God's presence and power. There are going to be moments just like we do this morning, and we spend time in His presence worshiping Him. That's going to happen. Obviously, pray to Him, pray for one another, and trusting for an experience of the pour out of His power. And we've had great testimonies of what God, not just spiritually, but practically. You experience His presence and His power through the life groups. It's a place and a space where you're going to feel valued, that you are important. You're not just a number or a name or a face that pitches up on a Thursday, but you're a person who feels valued, where you are going to be encouraged to share your life, where you're going to be encouraged not only to share your struggles, but share what you have. It's a space for you to feel valued. And we trust that when you leave on a Thursday, you're excited and you're encouraged and you envision to go and do that which God has done and you've learned. Contribute. Can I say that we are all called not just to be part of, but to participate in the kingdom of God. Not just called to mark time, but called to contribute and participate in that kingdom. And here's the amazing thing. My Bible tells me, chapter 12, speak about spiritual gifts. My Bible tells me that we've all been given gifts. And we've all been given, every single one of us. So none of us can say, well, He hasn't given me anything. My life is empty. No, your life is full. And He has given you something, sir, ma'am, that He's wanting to use you to bless and to encourage and minister to somebody else in. And to practice that. And you'll be encouraged to do that. And so there's a wide open space in a life group for you to add value, not only to feel value in the life of God, and then to reproduce. Very, very important that we don't just go and get fat. That we go and reproduce. And this church is good at reproducing, looking at the pregnant ladies. And we celebrate that. But reproduce. And so we go and reproduce disciples. That which God has done, we go and reproduce in others. Converts. Is that we are in a city. We are a church in a city with a purpose. And our purpose is to make Jesus known. And He's made known by reaching out to others. And so we are placed in a world to go and share this gospel that has impacted that very thing that Paul speaks about. No longer consequently, no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens. We have a responsibility to go and do the same with others. Go and share this gospel. And we have the privilege, every one of us has a sphere of influence beyond the church, in our workplace, in our university, in our school, where there are people that are facing brokenness. You're sitting across the table, business deal. You have a moment there and then to share Jesus. You have an opportunity in that moment to share Jesus.